Good morning. It's our privilege to come to the Word of God together. So if you want to open up to 2 Timothy 2, we'll get there eventually. Let me just mention a couple of things. Firstly, I am not Barry White. I am Ben Gibbons. I just have a bit of a cold. I feel okay. Don't require your sympathy. It's all right. Energy levels are okay. It's just my voice is affected. So I may not be quite as dynamic in my vocal range this morning as perhaps I might normally. But we trust in the Spirit of God rather than in my vocal cords, don't we? So that's a good thing. A couple of things to mention. We are connecting, joining with Arise to help pray for every single street in the city. There's an app to help you do that, but you don't have to get the app to pray. If you want to pray for your street, please do that. If you want to walk around and pray for your street, do that. If you want to sit in your house and pray for your street, do that. But it's great. It's this great chance to join together with the rest of the city to pray for the whole of the city. There's a QR code on there you can scan if you do want to get hold of the app, if that's going to help you. And you can mark the road that you've prayed for, and it'll change colour. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Secondly, Wednesday the 11th, we're going to have our first whole church equip event. And on that evening, you are invited to come at 7:30 to here. There'll be an online link as well if you can't make it here. Ginny and myself are going to look at the subject of suffering, not from an apologetic sense of point of view, but from a, as Christians, we face suffering, we will face suffering. Where does that come from? Why does it happen? And how do we respond to that? So that's going to be a practical evening to equip us as a church with that subject. Without further ado, let's get into 2 Timothy 2. We're going to start from verse 1. It says this, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Has anyone here ever competed in an ultra marathon? I'm looking for Kieran Crowe is about the only one that I know. I've not competed in, oh, Tom Hemington. Yes, you competed in an ultra marathon and had some fun afterwards as well, didn't you? An ultra marathon requires endurance. If you're going to compete in an ultra marathon, you have to prepare. You have to be ready to last a long time. And there are some tips and some hints that I can give you now if you ever want to do that. So apparently, you smile through the pain. You physically, when it hurts, you smile, and that makes the pain less. There's a tip for you. You can experience the challenge you're going through as a potential future story. So you take it from that current present pain into a future anecdote, which becomes more pleasurable to tell. Apparently that helps. And of course, you can positively self-talk, apparently. These are some tactics, some hints and attempts to help you if you're ever going to go and do an ultra marathon. Which doesn't, probably not many of us, but it's relevant to us today. My wife is flashing some sheets at me. I did this last time. I did some worksheets for the kids and forgot to give them out. If you're under the age of 11 and you want some worksheets, come and grab some from the front here. This will help you connect with what I'm saying. We'll give you some of the texts, the biblical texts. I meant to say this while I was doing the information bit at the start. I didn't even look at you then. An ultramarathon, hints and tips. What we've got today is Paul speaking to Timothy, the guy that he wants to take over from him, and he knows that Timothy's job is going to be like an ultramarathon. It's not going to be a sprint. It's something that's going to require effort and endurance. So he's setting aside this letter to encourage Timothy to endure, to carry on, or to put it this way, to stick with Jesus. And so particularly the text that we're looking today focuses on that element, and it kind of answers this question for us today. How do we endure as Christians? How do we stick with Jesus? We heard last week how Paul has a lot hanging on Timothy. Paul's probably about to die, and he's aware of that, and so he's making sure that all that he has in him is passed on to Timothy, and this letter is part of that process. But as we start and as we look at this subject and the idea of endurance, or even if you think the idea of an ultramarathon, it's not necessarily a positive start to a message, is it? How to endure? What do you mean? We have to endure? Sounds like hard work, doesn't it? Sounds like effort. But if you've walked with Jesus for any amount of time, if you've lived on this earth for any amount of time, you know it's not plain sailing. It's not simple. It's not straightforward. So we do need this encouragement. Timothy, leaders in the church need this encouragement to endure, to stick with Jesus. And we here in this room, most of us here as believers, those who love Jesus, life will be difficult and will be challenging, so we need to heed these encouragements. We need to listen to these prompts from Paul about how to endure. So I've got five for us today. They are not snappy and they do not alliterate, but they are accurate and descriptive of what Paul says. So we're going to go with accurate and descriptive rather than punchy and alliterated. Here's the first one for us. Verse 1. Be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Or other versions might be strengthened. Be strengthened in the grace. What does this mean? It's knowing this inward strength that comes from God. Ultimately knowing that our source of strength comes from Him, from His grace. He supplies it to us. His favor and power, which is unmerited by us, is given to us to do the things that He calls us to do, which includes to endure. Alternatively, if we flip it and say, what's the opposite? Well, be strengthened in your own works and your own strength. That's not what we're meant to do. We're not to be strengthened in our own strength, but in the grace of God. It's a little bit like this. It's not exactly like this, but the RNLI has run a campaign about float to survive. Have you seen any of these pictures? And so the idea is that in salt water, you use the buoyancy of the salt water to survive rather than your efforts and energy. So that you tip your head back, you put your arms and legs out, and you float until help comes. So rather than panicking or pushing or swimming or flailing or shouting, actually, you float to survive. And it's a little bit like that. To be strengthened in the grace of God when it's hard, when it's difficult, when you're in a challenging situation, our first reaction is, I've got to struggle, I've got to fight, I've got a battle. But if we're those who are to be strengthened in the grace of God, we're those, yes, we will work, yes, we will do things, but ultimately we kind of fall back into the grace of God and know that it's His grace that gives us the buoyancy we need to survive. There are things for us to do, but to be strengthened in the grace of God is to take a difficult moment or a challenge in life and go, I'm still in Him. He will get me through this. He will help me through this. He will enable me to get over this challenge and this difficulty. It's not me. It's not my strength. And so it's a weird image to put on the screen, but hopefully it's helpful. To be strengthened in the grace of God is to kind of float in the grace of God, run on our own efforts or our own strengths. Number 2, in verse 2. Commit, I'm going to put it this way, commit to orthodox doctrine. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. There is a doctrine that Paul believes that has been given to him from God that Timothy has to get hold of and pass on. And we sit here today as recipients of that same doctrine. Just over a year and a half ago, we went through the Apostles' Creed. It wasn't accidental. It was saying, as a church, we're committed to orthodox doctrine. What the Bible teaches clearly and has taught for thousands of years, we're committed to living that out in our lives. If you want to endure, if you want to carry on in this life, living for Jesus, sticking with him, we have to be committed to the Word of God and to the doctrines that have been clearly taught from this book, which is why we preach from this every single Sunday. It's why I think in virtually every week since Christmas, someone has got the Bible and said, we trust in this, we live by this. I can think of three or four people already this year have done that. It's what we believe. It's what's true. If you want to endure, if you want to stick with Jesus, and you want to continue the path that he's got for you, we have to be committed to reading his word, to living his word, and to knowing that is our source of truth to live this life. Ephesians 4:14, I think we've got on the slide here. If we study the word, if we stick with the word, if we're equipped and strengthened and matured by the word, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. This roots us. So when a new fad comes up or a new teaching comes up, we immediately go, what does this say? Is it consistent with this? We're not blown away, or we're not blown away from by new teaching or cunning plans or craftiness or techniques. We're sticking to the word of God. And Psalm 1, I talk about a believer being rooted in the word like a tree is next to a river. And his roots go down and it provides source and energy, even in a drought, even in difficulty. The word of God gives us what we need and keeps us on a straight path. So let me ask, are you putting your roots down deep? Let me be explicit. Are you reading and feeding yourself on the word of God? Let's have a moment of vulnerability. Okay, no judgment here. Hands up if you think you require a little bit of help to read this by yourself on a daily, weekly basis. Just give me an idea. Okay, fantastic. So that's 75% in the room are saying, I want to read the Bible, but I need a bit of help with this. We're just going to log that. I'm going to log that, and we'll see what we'll do with that. But be encouraged by it. So we read the Word of God together. On a Sunday, we preach it. When we get together in small groups, we read it together. On our own, we read it. Let me encourage that. Let's help each other read the Word of God in order that our roots can go down deep. Okay, number three, I'm going to need a little bit of help with this. I need someone who can pretend to be a soldier, someone who can pretend to be a farmer, and someone who can pretend to be an athlete. I'm looking at people ideally under the... Well, Ashurst, you guys always come forward because you're so keen, so I'm going to pause you guys this week. I know, so annoying. Last time, Jasper, you nearly wrecked me. It took me 2 weeks to recover from that for the leader. Come on, Joel. We'll have Joel. Anyone else? Daniel, do you want to come? No? We might be Barney. Okay, it is Barney. Anyone else? Esme, do you want to come help me? Lois? Fantastic. Joel, do you want to be a farmer, an athlete, or a soldier?
A soldier.
A soldier, okay. Do you want to be a farmer or an athlete, a runner? A runner, okay. Esme, you're a farmer. Because your granddad works on a farm, doesn't he? So you're perfectly suited. So what we're going to do, we're going to do statues of these things. So can you do a statue of a soldier? Very good. Can you do a statue of a runner? Brilliant. Can you do a statue of a farmer working hard? Brilliant. Right, I need you for 1 minute to hold those poses, okay? So we're to see life through the right lens. And Paul gives us three examples of what the Christian life is like. Oh, there's an athlete as well. First one is a soldier. And the point is deriving from this is that you don't get involved in civilian affairs. You're focused. You're single-minded. You know what really matters. You're not distracted. You're not thinking, do I need to put another coat of paint on the house back home? Do I need to make sure the washing up is done? No, because you're in a war and you're single-minded. You're focused. You know what really matters. Now, I'm not saying that's what we do here. It's okay to think about the washing up and paint walls. That's not a problem. But as a soldier, there's a focus. And we've got to learn there's a focus that we have for our life. Then we have a runner. And the athlete, to win the prize, has to compete by the rules. There's an integrity that God is calling us to live our lives the way that he's calling us to live our lives. And then we have a farmer who is working very hard despite wearing a Crystal Palace outfit. Really hard indeed to get the harvest. Thank you, guys. Fantastic statues. Then take a seat. What Paul's not saying is that to be like a Christian is to be like a chocolate taster for Cadbury, where you sit down and just eat chocolate and go, yeah, nice one. Or, oh no, it is a bit different. There's not a lot of effort or energy. The theme, if you like, here is effort, sacrifice, focusing on the end goal. There's a challenge involved. There's a clear point Paul's making through all three. If we're going to be someone who endures, we've got to recognize that life will be challenging. And there's something about a soldier, a farmer, an athlete that we can learn about. It's not about comfort. It's not about ease. And it's not about short-termism, just thinking about what's next. You see, anything worth anything is worth effort and sacrifice. And that statement is so much more true when we think about Jesus and his kingdom. But notice also in these examples, reward is mentioned. Pleasing God and winning the crown. How do we endure? We take the examples of these three people, knowing that if we do these things, we will please God and we receive the prize that he's got plans for us. Number four, be encouraged by others' examples. If we go to verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not changed. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I'm going to tread on some dangerous ground, but I'm a risky man. So I'm going to use an illustration from childbirth. That's what I'm doing. You may be surprised to know I've not experienced it firsthand, childbirth. But I've observed four births because I have four children, just in case you didn't understand how that works. I've been there four times. Childbirth is not the easiest process to go through. That would be my observation. Understatement of the century. And there are difficult things that we can be encouraged to do because others have gone before us and others have done the same thing. And there's like this connection that mothers have, and they tell you, you've been through the same thing. Well, if you've done that, I can do that. If you've experienced that, I can do that. There's the encouragement of centuries of mothers who have gone through childbirth that encourage those who are facing a really difficult task can be encouraged by. Paul's saying the same thing here for us. We're going to face difficulties and challenges. Timothy, it's going to be really tough. But remember Jesus. How do we endure? We remember Jesus. He died, he rose again. Jesus, who suffered a sinner's death, who was flogged, who chose to take your punishment and my punishment, to take my shame and your shame, to take my sin and your sin upon himself upon the cross. He suffered in a way that we barely begin to understand. And so as those who want to endure, we have to fundamentally remember Jesus. Recall what he has done. And he said we are to follow him, to live, to take up our cross and follow him. So we shouldn't be surprised if our life becomes slightly challenging or difficult. If we face persecution, he would say, if the world hates you, they hated me first. He's gone through it. He's known it. He's experienced it. And I'm aware I'm not making a great advert for Christianity this morning. I'm not saying, come and be a Christian and life will be fantastic and super easy. I'm saying, no, it won't. It'll be difficult and challenging and hard work. Possibly and probably more than if you didn't come and know Jesus, because there are additional challenges to face. But here's the deal. And this is a massive thing. You get Jesus. And you get this community of believers. You get to be adopted into the family of Christ. You get to call God Father. You get to enter into the presence of God with freedom and confidence. You get to know his power with you. You get to be filled with the Holy Spirit and know the power of heaven at work in your life on a daily basis. You get to know the love of the Father and the love of the believers. So no, it's not easy. And maybe it wasn't a great advert. Perhaps now, though, you might be slightly more inclined to think this Jesus is worth investigating. And the fact that this whole message is about enduring because we want to stick with Jesus, because we want to glorify him, because we know how amazing he is, maybe that would just help you take a step forward to find more out about him. But Paul doesn't just point to Jesus. He also points to himself, not directly, but I think we can do that ourselves today. Paul suffered. That's what he says. I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained. And elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 11, he would talk about being lashed and flogged. He would be talked about being stoned. He would talk about being shipwrecked, abandoned, hungry, and in danger. This is the life of the pioneering apostle of Jesus Christ. Not fancy cars, not lovely houses, lashing, stones, shipwrecks, abandoned, hungry, and in danger. Paul saying to Timothy, it's worth it. I've chosen to do it, and it's worth it. And God's calling you to the same, to endure. So follow my example. Number five, this is my last point, but it might be slightly longer than the first few. The other call is to heed God's promises. Verse 11 to 13, here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. We have here, you notice how it's laid out slightly differently. It's laid out slightly differently because this is probably a hymn or a poem that the New Testament church would read out or sing out. But it's arranged in a way that helps us understand it more by noticing the structure, by noticing how it's put together. And really, we've got two sets of couplets. And the first set are connected and the second set are connected. So the first set is about dying with him and living with him, enduring and reigning with him. When we die with him, this is talking about what baptism represents. We go down into the water to represent our death to ourself. And we rise up living a life for God. That's what a description of a Christian believer is. We are dying to ourselves and living for God. Galatians 2:20 says that we have been crucified with Christ. And therefore, Christ lives in me. I've identified with Jesus. I've died with him. But now he lives in me. This is true life when I die to myself and he lives. And the second line builds on that. The second line, if we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we endure, if we continue in that life, we will reign with him. If we've died to ourselves, we will reign with him. Revelation 5:10 talks about the saints reigning with God. Revelation is a book that looks towards the end times, look towards what happens in the heavenlies. And we're called as believers to reign with him forever. So from these two, we can conclude that life with Christ is about dying to self, which leads to reigning with him. Let's take the second couple then. If we disown him, he'll also disown us. Now, every other version that I read of this text says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. The word has the same root in Greek. It's the same sentiment of denying and disowning. They said, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. He cannot disown himself. It's going to help us if we handle these two together and realize they're connected rather than separate. And that disowning and denying is connected to being faithless and faithful. So the faithless builds on that denying, on that disowning. But what we're going to do is take a few texts just to get some clarity around this before we arrive at a conclusion of what Paul is trying to say here. Because a good principle is with things that are not totally clear, we look at other parts of the Bible that are clear to help us understand that. So I think there's a little bit of a lack of clarity here that's going to help us by looking at other texts. So if we go to Matthew 10:33, this is Jesus speaking. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I'll also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So he's saying the same thing. Paul's not going rogue here. He's repeating the words of Jesus. So that is true. But we also see in Luke 22, towards the end of that chapter, we've got Peter denying or disowning Jesus. It's the same word, denying and disowning Jesus three times. And then later on, he is restored and Jesus, and he confesses that Jesus is Lord. And Jesus says, we're going to build the church on this rock. And so we can see that it must therefore mean that this temporary lapse, this idea of being embarrassed by Jesus, is not a reason for Jesus to disown us. He doesn't disown Jesus, Peter, does he? What do we see? We've been in Ephesians for a while, haven't we? And Will helpfully read out a passage from that this morning. Ephesians tells us this, that we were chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. So our salvation, the initiative doesn't come from us, it comes from God. I've chosen you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. We also read that we're saved by faith through grace. So it's not our efforts. It's not by works. It's through God. It's through believing on what Jesus has done that we're saved. It's by grace. But we can also jump into 2 Peter. Well done for staying with me, by the way. We've got a few texts here. 2 Peter 1:10-11. And he talks about confirming your calling and election. Confirming your calling and election. So there's something about God's initiation, but that our life can confirm what God has done. It makes it clear to us. So let me put it this way. There is space in the Word of God, we think, for people who have claimed to follow Christ, but then choose to deny or disown him permanently. They say that Christ is no longer in me. I have nothing to do with him. I no longer want to follow him. I don't believe in him. This denial or disownment reveals the truth of their walk, and thus that they were not chosen, that God wasn't initiating salvation for them. They were not part of the elect. But it doesn't turn then to our works. It still hangs on our faith. Believing what God has done and believing what he has taken us into. It still hangs on being, if you like, faithful or faithless. And there's a key difference, isn't here, in that last one. If he disowns us, if we disown him, he'll disown us. If we're faithless, he will remain faithful because he cannot disown himself. There is a difference between us and God. He cannot be faithless. He will always be faithful to his promises. He won't change. He cannot deny himself. So if we're going to endure, we're going to be those people who heed God's promise. And we have the promise of eternal life for those he's called and those who come to him and those who endure. And there's promise of life without him for those who choose that. He is faithful and he will see both through. I'm sure you've picked up the overall message today is that how do we endure? We stay strong in the grace. We commit to orthodox doctrine. We view life through the right lens. We're encouraged by others' examples and we heed God's promises. But I wonder, even as we look at the last point, there is a danger that we turn to our efforts and our energies and our commitments. And I'm not denying those are important. The whole thing that Paul is coming to Timothy is saying, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You've got to put some energy. You've got to put some commitment. You've got to put some effort into that. But if we get to the stage when our focus is on those things rather than on his faithfulness and his grace, then we start losing the race. It starts getting harder than it needs to be. And so, if you like, how do we endure? We fundamentally remember he is faithful. We fundamentally rely on the character of God as the one who says that his words that he speaks will never fall to the ground unfulfilled. We come to the one who is the author and the perfecter, the completer, the finisher of our faith. The one who withstood every challenge on earth as Jesus and defeated our greatest enemy, sin and death. We come to the one who is completely trustworthy and faithful, and we float in his grace. We rest in what he has done. We trust in his power to help us do the things he's called us to do. We trust in him to help us be the people he's called us to be the ones that are faithful. We don't rely on our power, our energy, our commitment. We come to God and say, we need you to help us endure. If life is hard for you today, if life is not hard for you today, it will be in the future. Let's do these things. Let's remember he is faithful, and let's be strengthened in his grace to do the things we need to do to endure and stick with Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.